we gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful May Sunday morning to encounter the risen Lord. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
Thank you, Jill, for that beautiful prelude this morning. Well, good morning, FBC Elon, and thank you for joining us for worship on this first Sunday in the month of May. May the joy of the risen Lord be felt in our worship this morning. To our first-time guests, we welcome you, and we'd like for you to take a visitor's card and place it in the offering plate when you leave, so we'll have a record of your visit today. And for those online on Facebook Live, we welcome you also. You can find our bulletin on our website, www.fbc-elon.org. And if you're a first-time visitor online, send our Pastor David an email so he'll have a record of you attending on online. This afternoon, we will not have our Bible study, our spring Bible study. David will do it on Facebook Live on Tuesday, May the 5th at 7 p.m. And so that's a change from what you see in your calendar that you're looking at. Also, looking ahead this week, Tuesday will be our senior adult breakfast. We'll meet at 9 o'clock at Angelina's for breakfast. And then on Wednesday, of course, we have choir rehearsal at 6:30. Elon Reading Day snacks are due tomorrow, and I don't know if you've been upstairs, but you'll see we have abundant of snacks this time. Last semester, we were kind of low on snacks. Well, y'all have really come through, and we will bless a bunch of Elon kids this semester, and thank you in advance for what you've done already. Our deacon nominations, you will see this in your classrooms out in the foyer. These are due back next Sunday, May the 10th, on Mother's Day. Prayerfully consider who you think would make good deacons. We have two rolling off, and so we need to nominate two new deacons. So if you know of somebody, please write their name down and turn it in next Sunday in the offering plates. May mission in gathering for this month is Season with Love, campaign allied by allied churches. They're needing spices to help add flavor to the dinners that they serve each night. And there's a recommended list in your bulletin, in your newsletter, and just drop them off in the foyer or either upstairs in the designated boxes. Next, 2 weeks from today, May 17th, we will have our Elon Roundtable meeting at 4 o'clock. There are three items that will be brought to vote on: deacon nominating team, two motions from BLT, one from the technology team in regards of the upgrades in our sanctuary, and then one from buildings and grounds about the parking lot. Now may we lift up our prayers to the one who is our all in all. Let's stand and worship together. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Opening scripture this morning is from Psalm chapter 31, verses 1 through 5, and then continuing in verses 15 and 16. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Deliver me, Lord, my faithful God. And then in verse 15, my times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Would you pray with me? Faithful God, you are our refuge and our strength, a mighty fortress in a world of chaos and turmoil. Protect us, but also encourage us to be brave. Strengthen us to face this world and to make it a better place. Inspire our worship, that in this time we may deepen our faith and place our trust in you. We lift this prayer in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is a very familiar hymn too. Blessed be the name. Let's stand and sing.
Blessed be the name.
The ministry highlight this morning is the fun and fellowship trip that we are going to take on May the 19th. And we're going to meet here at the church at 9:30. And we're going to travel to a little stone village called Shangri-La, which is in Prospect Hill, North Carolina. Now, how many of you know where Prospect Hill is? Off of Highway 86, yes. And so that we're going to, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the village. This village was settled in Prospect Hill off of Highway 86. And it's a storybook village unlike no other. Here, the stone buildings are miraculously handcrafted from white flint rocks, quartz, red bricks, and cement. They all stand about 5 feet tall. This enchanting miniature world is a sole creation of a retired tobacco farmer named Henry Warren, who embarked on this remarkable endeavor in 1968 at the age of 72. Over time, Warren single-handedly erected about 27 unique structures, including a school, a church, a theater, a hospital, a mill, a courthouse, even a doghouse, a motel, a general store, a jail, a library, and city hall. And I'm sure there's others. Those are just the ones that were mentioned. We will eat after we tour that, which Phil says will take about 8 minutes. Maybe 20 if you spread it out a little bit longer. We're going to Benny's Italian Grill in Hillsboro for lunch that day. So mark your calendar for May 19th. Sign-up sheets are in the classrooms and the foyer outside and also upstairs. And we should be back around 1:30 that afternoon. Now I'll call on Deacon Debbie Morgan.
May we pray together. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. As we present our offerings today, we are reminded of your great love for us. Your love knows no bounds and is beyond measure. Help us reflect your love in all that we do, including our giving. May these gifts be used to spread your love to others, bringing hope and healing to a world in need. Now, Father, we offer all glory to you, who is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. How great thou art. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, worship choir, for our beautiful, special music today. And it's okay to clap. I heard somebody clapping. Who was clapping? There you go, Arlene. That was okay to clap. It was beautiful, beautiful, special music today. Again, I want to thank Gay and our deacons for stepping in and helping out with our worship service today. I do want to share with the congregation this morning an update and just what's going on. I know you've seen it over the last couple Sundays, the struggle that has been my ability to even step up the steps to get up to the pulpit. And I just want to, I covet and I thank you for your prayers. I have felt your prayers. I have really appreciated, greatly appreciated your words of encouragement, not just over the past couple weeks, but over the past couple years, as I continue to struggle with these migraine headaches. I don't know what other way to say it. It has been a struggle. It continues to be a struggle, and I greatly appreciate your prayers. And I want you to know I'm an open book. I want you to know that. I don't want anyone to say, well, I don't want to say anything to David today. He may not be feeling well. I want you to share with me your concerns. What's going on in your life? Ask me what's going on in my life. I'll share with you. I'll be honest. I don't want it to be a secret because it's not. It's not. Right now, my head is a struggle. Really a struggle. I went and saw a new doctor this past week. There is a new treatment plan for one of my medications. And I will share with you, there's the possibility over the next couple weeks as I take this medication that I may be even more limited than I am already now because of the side effects of this medication. So I've already talked with Phil Thompson, our chair of our deacons, and Leslie Cornell, our HR chair, and they are very fully supportive in speaking on behalf of the church of what may be coming. And I can't tell you what tomorrow will hold. I can't tell you what 4 weeks will hold when I have to get back in touch with my new neurologist and know what that'll be. But what I do know is this. Every step of the way, I feel your prayers. I feel your love. And most importantly, I feel God's presence. And for that, that's why I'm standing where I am here today. If I did not feel his presence, if I did not feel that he was leading me and walking with me through this difficult time, I wouldn't be able to make it up two steps to the pulpit every Sunday morning. I still am here. I'm still your pastor. And it may be pastoring in a different way. It's definitely pastoring in a different way than I expected when I entered the ministry 20-some years ago. But it doesn't mean that I'm still not called and that I still love you and support you in everything that you're going. So, again, I'm going to be an open book. I'm trying to be present, and I will share with you what's going on in my life as long as you promise to continue to share with me what's going on in yours, because I love you, and I feel your support. I am so thankful that I have two wonderful co-workers in Gay and Janice who are carrying a burden beyond what they should ever have to do, and they do it with a smile. With a dedication, and I encourage you every single day to pray for them. Pray for what they're having to do. I pray for them every single day when I get in touch with them to share what's going on. And just because I may not be here when you stop by to drop something off at the church office, or you come by to stop by to do something here ministry-wise, doesn't mean I'm not ministering, because I do a lot of praying from my bed these days. So if you're going for a surgery at 7 o'clock in the morning, I promise you I've been praying for you all night and in the morning. But make sure you support and love Gay and Janice for all they do, and our deacons who continue to minister and to love you and to serve the body. As long as I'm physically able to get up these steps, as long as Brian still has the back to help me up the steps every single Sunday, I will still be here. I do ask that you continue to pray for my family. Jennifer is my crutch and my strength right now. Pray for her. Pray for the boys. Pray for Mom and Dad. Pray for my extended family who understand what I'm going through in a little bit more way than y'all do. But pray for them as well. But I know God is good, and God is present, and God is calling us to be here and to worship him today. So let's go and go to prayer, to him in prayer this morning. Pray with me. Mighty God, we want to be brave, but it's tempting to be small and afraid. Lift us up when we fall down. Protect us from our doubts and our fears. Shine your face upon us with mercy and grace, that we might find the courage and the strength to be steadfast and faithful, loving and righteous. Be our strong foundation, so that we may grow up as your household, your family, and your people of justice, love, and mercy. In hope and gratitude, we pray this morning. Amen. And I will say, and Gabe mentioned this earlier, the Bible study that we were supposed to meet in person last week and this week, it will be taking place, our first session on Tuesday night of this week at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live. That study is going to become a virtual study this spring. It gives me a little bit more flexibility, so I will update you week by week of what day and what time that study will take place. It'll be during the week. That just gives me a little bit more flexibility. I'm a lot better at nighttime than I am in the daytime, I'll be honest with you. But I will update you on that in the weeks to come. I am glad that you're here and you are here to worship this morning. I pray that the Lord has already spoken to you in our hour of worship this morning. I know it has to me, especially with our special music this morning from our choir. Why me? Why me? Have you ever had a day, a week, a month, or even a year where you've asked this question? There are a variety of reasons we can feel this way. We see loved ones develop a fatal disease. We lose a job that maybe that we've worked in or held for many years. We see our pensions depleted by a hurting economy. We get persecuted for doing the right thing, the right spirit, for the right reason. Sometimes we have it coming. If we look at the Old Testament story of Jonah, I think we can all safely say that Jonah kind of had it coming to him. God asked him to do something, and he did not want to do it at first. After he became fish bait, Jonah had a change of action. Not much a change of heart. So really, Jonah, in good conscience, could not really ask, why me? He knew something was coming. Today, however, we're going to look at a situation, an individual that almost defies logic. In the story of Stephen, we have a man filled with the Holy Spirit, full of power and grace. Stephen was selected by the church to be one of the original deacons. Stephen was performing signs and wonders and was doing great things for the Lord. Stephen was so good at preaching the gospel that even the Jewish leaders of the day were mad at him because they could not stand against his wisdom and his spirit. So they did what you do when you cannot win an argument. You smear the person and make up accusations against them. Glad that we've grown past that in our time. Stephen gets dragged before the Sanhedrin. He is falsely accused of blasphemy, the act of speaking sacrilegiously about God and sacred things. He was accused of speaking against Moses and God. So what does Stephen do? He does what we all like to do. Stephen takes the crowd to a trip down memory lane as he shares the history of the nation with the crowd. What could go wrong? He has the crowd eating out of his hand. Here is a man who has God on his side. He's doing the work that God called him to do. If anyone has the right to ask why me in this situation, it is Stephen. So let's pick up the story of Stephen this morning at the end of the story, after this whole story, history of the Jewish people that he's told. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. Why me? Why me? When we ask that question, I think there's three really important things that we need to remember when that question pops in our head or comes out of our mouth without even thinking. Why me? And the very first thing I think we need to remember is that God doesn't always keep bad things from happening. If we look at the whole story of Stephen in Acts and his encounter with the Jewish leadership, I do not know how he went from retelling the story, the history of the nation, to basically calling the leaders the stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, which we see happens in verses 51 through 54. Suffice it to say, the group got really mad at Stephen for this transition. I would imagine as he was preaching, the false accusers were working on swaying the crowd. I think Stephen was watching his audience, and he finally realized to himself that he was getting nowhere with them. The crowd was so mad that they were gnashing their teeth, which means they were grinding their teeth together and forcefully looking at him. Imagine if today, when I got into the pulpit this morning, and suddenly, out of the blue, I busted that line of thought on you, calling you out for all your personal wrongs, and calling you out for all your family wrongs and your corporate wrongs. I'm sure all of you would have smiled, like Gay asked you to smile earlier, and just taken it as it were, right? How many of you would have stood up and walked out of the sanctuary? Stephen was a man who was doing God's will. He is a man that God has blessed with the ability to perform miracles as well as being able to confound his critics. God blessed this man with wisdom that his opponents could not match. Yet, here he is. The crowd is about to turn into a mob. The situation is going to go from bad to worse in a hurry. Does Stephen have anything to fear? He is a servant of the God Most High, carrying out God's will. Romans 8:31 says, "What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us?" Have you ever gotten into trouble for doing the right thing? Have you ever been mistreated by carrying out God's will? If that has happened, have you ever asked the question, like Stephen did, "Why me?" Now, I'm sure none of us have endured what Stephen had to face. As Stephen was speaking, they yelled at the top of their volume, covered their ears, and rushed against him. They dragged him outside the city gates and began to stone him. And while this was taking place, one would think that Stephen had to wonder in his mind, "Why me?" When we belong to Jesus and when tragedy or other complicated things happen to us, we probably ask that question, "Why me? Lord, do I not belong to you? Lord, am I not one of your children? How could you let one of your children die before I thought it was time?" I have known some beautiful servants of the Lord go through some tough times. I would ask, "Why them? Why them, God?" when I see others who are living opposed to God's will, living to ripe old ages. When bad things happen, we tend to think that God has left us, that we are being punished for something. When things fall apart, we think that God has left the building. We believe because something terrible has happened that God does not care, or he does not at least love us in this circumstance. We must remember that we live in a fallen world, and this is not the only life that we get. We also need to remember that God does not always keep bad things from happening. And that brings us to the second thing we need to remember about this question, "Why me?" We must remember that God is still and always will be there. God is still there. This cannot be repeated enough. This cannot be said enough to us as we're going through those times. God is with us when things are going bad. God is with us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. God was with Jesus when he was suffering on the cross for our salvation. When you are going through difficult times, he is with you. When Stephen was about to suffer a horrific death at the hands of these folks, God was with him. Verses 55 and 56 tell us that Stephen gazed up into heaven and he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen speaks as if the skies had parted and his eyes penetrated beyond what we can see to where God resides. Only Stephen saw this vision, which made the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders there, even more angry. Now, as a side note to this story, this event takes place before the writing of the Gospels. And this is important to remember. This story right here takes place before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. Why does this matter? Because Jesus, being referred to in this passage by Stephen as the Son of Man, which was a messianic title that Jesus used of himself throughout the Gospels, is very interesting. This passage is only one of three outside of the Gospels where this title is used for Jesus. Stephen's use of this title is one of those little confirmations of the truth of the gospel record, since Stephen delivered this before they were even written. When Jesus used this title to speak of himself, the leaders of the time considered it blasphemy. The same was taking place when Stephen used it. When he said the Son of Man, it was blasphemy. It was so offensive to the crowd that they covered their ears in verse 57, and they yelled at the top of their lungs at the loudest volume that they could to drown out Stephen's words. Ever encountered someone who wants to raise their volume so your voice can't be heard again? We've been in that situation. Maybe you're that person who does that. Ever been there? But what we do know is there's a great crowd doing exactly that in this situation. Stephen was about to face a painful death, yet God was still with him. Stoning as a form of execution involved throwing the victim over a small cliff. I think sometimes we lose how stoning took place, and I want to explain it to you today. Stoning usually involved taking them to the outside of the city gates. And you would throw them down a small cliff. They built up the cities up top because of the way precipitation took place, and they wanted the city to be elevated. So they would throw them off this small cliff. The first witness or the first accuser would then roll a heavy stone down the precipice of this hill, intending that the weight of the stone should crush the victim to death. The witnesses against the accused were to cast or roll that first stone if the accused was found guilty. If the first stone did not accomplish the task, the second witness would then roll down a second stone and subsequent stones until the objective was achieved. In Stephen's case, the Sanhedrin members resorted to more of a mob mentality than the organized procedure called for by Jewish law. It should be noted that the Romans took away the Jews' rights to execute people, except in the case of temple violations. What we need to know when we are enduring hardship is that God is with us. In Stephen's case, God allowed him to see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. When you realize that God is with you, the trying times are easier to endure because we know we are not alone. This was the case for Stephen because he was being executed. Stephen says this in verse 59 and 60, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And then he fell asleep. And that brings us to the third thing we need to remember about this question, why me? We need to remember in those moments what is important to God. While this was happening to Stephen, he did not shake a fist at God, nor did he call on God to rain fire upon those persecuting him. Instead, he called out to Jesus, asking him to receive his spirit. Jesus was on the mind during this whole ordeal. He did not fear death because he knew where he was going, and he knew who was by his side. Concerning those who were killing him, he knew that these lost souls were important to God. His dying request was for God to forgive them. This is the same thing that Jesus asked of God while they were killing him. People are essential to God. When we are suffering, when we are spending our time asking, why me, we tend to take our focus off what is important to God. What is important to God is seeing people saved. The grace and dignity in which we endure can be a testimony to those who are watching. And now, one interesting note to this story, I left an important piece of this out, and it takes place in verse 58. The verse says, "They dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul." Saul, present at the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Saul, the man who would later change his name to Paul. Saul, the man who would become arguably the greatest Christian missionary of all time. Acts chapter 8 is when Saul started persecuting and pursuing Christians. This is when the Christian church was scattered outside of Jerusalem. God had wanted the church to go out into all the world, but it was not until this event that the church started to go into all the world. We do not know how Saul, who became Paul, reflected on being present at the stoning of Stephen that day. However, I think we all can understand it was a memorable life event. I think we can all believe, I cannot help but believe, that the way Stephen handled his tragic death definitely influenced a young man named Saul, who would become Paul, who would become a missionary for the Lord. We never know who is watching. We never know who is watching and keeping an eye when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. On this day, on that day, Saul was, and his life was changed forever. The way we handle those why me moments in life tends to deal us could have an impact on someone coming to salvation in Christ, or somehow, some way, furthering the case and the cause of Christ. In closing today, we have all probably asked the question, why me, at some point in time. I know I have. I know I have recently. With Jonah, we could see why him. With Stephen, it seems to defy logic. The question of why me can cause us to forget that bad things happen in the world, and we're not always shielded from those things. If this were the only existence that we have, then we can feel justified in complaining and focusing on how unfair it is. But this life that we live right now is not the only life that we're promised. This life is only the beginning. Instead of focusing on the why me, we should focus on the fact that Jesus Christ is walking with us all the way. Every step of the way, all the time. And he'll be waiting for us on the other side of this worst case scenario. He'll be waiting at the right hand of the Father for our ultimate destination. So, instead of asking the question, why me, maybe we should be asking a different question. Why not me? Let's pray. Stephen, a testimony of faith, a testimony of love, endurance, a testimony of the answer to the question, why me? Father, when we walk through those difficult times, may we look at Stephen as a reminder of how you are walking with us every step of the way. That you don't prevent bad things from happening in this fallen world, but that you do promise that there is another life, a perfect life, eternal life, reside with you. So, Father, we ask that question about me. Remind us that you are with us. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our closing hymn today, maybe for the first time, you understand that Jesus Christ is walking beside you. Maybe you've gone through difficult times, dark times, and you're ready to embrace him as your Lord and Savior. Brian Carroll will be down front to welcome you this morning as we have our invitation this morning. He'll embrace you as a brother in Christ and welcome you into God's kingdom if that's the decision you have to make today. Or maybe today that you've been seeking to be a part of a congregation that seeks to model and show what it means to walk with the Lord in the good times and the bad. First Baptist could be that home for you. We'll embrace you and welcome you into our family. Or maybe You've been asking that question, why me? Maybe that question you've been residing with, maybe just for today. Maybe it's been the last week, the month, the year, the decade. Maybe we've been asking that question a lot. And if you're asking that question, take it to the Lord. He has an answer. His answer is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he's speaking. Are you ready to listen? Come to the pulpit. Come to the altar. It's his. Pray. One of our deacons will pray with you. Whatever decision you have to make today, make it today. Don't put it off. Don't keep asking the question. Embrace him, because he's right here. Let's stand and sing this morning.
We should acknowledge that David could just as easily say, why me? And we also need to acknowledge that if God had called anybody else to be the pastor of this church, they might not be strong enough to show up every Sunday when they didn't feel like they could stand up. But David is man enough and convicted enough to come when it's not easy. And how many of us can say that? How many times have you woken up on a Sunday morning and just said, I don't feel good, or I'm tired, and so you don't come to church? God gives David his words to speak, and he shows up and does it every Sunday. And as for me, I'm grateful for that. So would you receive the benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you, granting you the grace to see his glory. May you be filled with the Holy Spirit, extending mercy where there's bitterness, walking in the confidence that Jesus stands at the right hand of God for you and for me. Go in the grace of Christ. Amen.